From America's frontier, Nebraska, it's time for the Outdoor Connection, brought to you by TJ and the crew from the Minnow Bucket in North Platte. The Minnow Bucket, for all your hunting, fishing, and outdoor needs. Stop in today at 1013 South Jeffers in North Platte. Here's your host of Husker Radio's Outdoor Connection, Rick Windham.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Brian Perks. He is a wildlife biologist with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission and specializes in depredation issues. Good morning, Brian. How are you doing today?
Well, Rick, I'm doing great. Thank you.
As I understand it, you're relatively new to the Game and Parks. How long have you been a biologist with the Game and Parks system?
Well, actually, I've worked for the Game and Parks for almost 20 years. Close to 16 of that is as a permanent biologist with the agency.
And, well, I'm going to have to go rattle Adam's cage. He told me you were new out here.
well, it's a new position in response to increasing wildlife damage concerns in recent years. The agency hired two depredation biologists, is what we're calling them, in western Nebraska. And I accepted that position back in March, and then another position was filled in the Panhandle. And so it is a new position for me, but I've been with the state Game and Parks for coming up on 20 years as permanent and a seasonal worker. So the years are starting to add up.
Very good. Yeah, they do that, don't they?
Yeah.
Just to get everybody a good baseline, what is the definition of depredation?
Okay. Depredation, simply it means to cause damage. And when you're talking about wildlife depredation, damage caused by wildlife, I often use the term depredation and wildlife damage interchangeably. But so you're talking about damage that's incurred. By wildlife. Periodically, wildlife populations in Nebraska cause damage to ag crops, both during the growing season and stored crops. We see damage to fences, livestock, hay, trees, yard ornamentals, gardens. Those are probably some of the more common examples of what we see in the field, damage caused by wildlife. Typically, you see wildlife damage when human and wildlife interactions overlap in the ag setting or as communities and sprawl out into wild areas. wildlife damage can occur anytime, but it seems to me it intensifies during times of extreme conditions such as drought or cold temps, heavy snow, ice. Any conditions that might concentrate animals in large groups near food sources or water.
Right.
So that's kind of what we're talking about when we're referring to wildlife damage or depredation.
Has it become a bigger problem, or is becoming a bigger problem in western Nebraska?
Yeah. So I've witnessed and worked with wildlife damage periodically through my career. Notably, when I started, it was white-tailed deer to irrigated crops along the river corridors, the Platte River, Republican River, and any of those tributary creeks that feed into those rivers. And but in recent years, big game populations in western Nebraska have increased in some regions and in some management units. A good example of this is mule deer have really done well the last decade in southwestern Nebraska in parts of the Platte and Frenchman units. And we also see some big game species expanding their range. Elk are a good example of that. I'm just going to use the box elder unit as an example. We're starting to see elk well outside of that core unit. I'm hearing of elk down along the Republican River and out in the ag setting where talking with guys this year, nothing surprises me anymore. We're hearing about elk popping up. We're 5 years ago or 10 years ago, certainly if you heard of an elk on the Republican River or, you know, some cornfield out in Frontier County, it would have been quite a definitely caught you by surprise, but it doesn't anymore. So I think those elk are expanding their range.
Where I live, which is about 7 miles south of town. Basically, I'm like at the northeast corner of Lake Maloney.
Okay.
And night before last, I was sitting on the patio just enjoying the fall evening, and I heard elk bugle there. So they're just to the north of me in some canyons there, and they are expanding quite a bit. And like you said, I'm not surprised. When somebody tells me, yeah, I saw an elk over here. We even had a few years ago, we even had the police department. They got involved in herding a bull elk out of town way out on West Phillip and Leota.
That's what I'm talking about. A lot of people, it's definitely a novelty. I like seeing elk in different areas, but I know with that there's also the you run into those interactions that aren't always good. Possibly a herd of elk out in the aren't always appreciated out in a pivot of corn in all areas. So,
oh no, I've seen some of the damage they can do. Just south of Gentleman Station, there's an issue with the landowner and a producer there. That some years they do a lot of damage for him, but. Is there a dollar value that's currently associated with the amount of damage that wildlife is doing?
That's a good question, Rick. And I guess I'm going to be honest. I don't know that dollar figure off the top of my head. I know a lot of people have tried to calculate that, but the fact is, Nebraska is a very, a large state as far as land area is concerned. 98-99% private property and. Those producers are ranching and farming, and there's a lot of diverse crops out there on the landscape, a lot of different wildlife, and to measure that is pretty tough. And there's a lot of other factors in addition to wildlife damage. There's the environmental conditions, drought, hail, wind, but there's certainly damage out there, but it's very difficult to measure that and put a dollar figure on it and be accurate.
Okay.
I'm certain it's a significant amount of money, and it's a serious issue, and that's really the why we're working on this depredation program, to try to work with producers more and try to help alleviate some of that economic burden that they face when dealing with wildlife damage.
You mentioned earlier that the Game and Parks had established two positions, two biologists like yourself, for the western part of the state. So how many counties do you cover yourself? What's your basic target area?
Okay. Well, geez, I haven't counted up the counties that I cover, but it's a large area. Basically, we call it the Southwest District, and I'm dealing with depredation response from the Kansas line north up into the Sand Hills, and from the Colorado line eastward to just east of Grand Island. So,
man, you got a lot of windshield time.
Yeah. But it's get out and see, talk to a lot of different folks, and see some different country. So, something different every day.
What are the general types of depredation, wildlife damage issues that you encounter in a week? What do you see?
Okay, the majority of issues that I see are typically related to big game. Your whitetail, your mule deer, and elk, and even pronghorn to an extent. And typically the most common is damaged cropland during the growing season, or food storage areas throughout such as corn bags, silage piles, or feed bunks. This year I've heard an increased number of comments from landowners throughout southwest Nebraska about raccoons causing corn damage. And some guys have said that raccoons have caused as much damage as deer.
Wow.
And, with lower fuel prices and not a lot of people out pursuing coons, it stands to reason that population's pretty high, and I could see how they're causing some damage. But typically, we also hear reports of damage to yard ornamentals, vegetable gardens, ornamental trees and shrubs in people's yards, livestock depredation. This year, I know I've dealt with three different instances of sheep and goats that have been preyed on by coyotes, and we hear a fair number of reports of wild turkeys and Canada geese in undesirable areas, such as urban neighborhoods, sand pits, community parks, for example.
Right. Golf courses.
And, golf courses, absolutely. Absolutely.
There's something about golf courses that geese just love. They love the little the grasses in there.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to drive past a golf course without seeing a couple geese on it these days.
You were talking about ornamentals and some of the other things. In some of your earlier careers, did you ever get involved with Fontenelle Forest back on the eastern side of the state?
No, I haven't been involved with that. I'm aware of Fontenelle, but I haven't been part of work, any kind of work there.
That's one of those that, you know, over the years I always heard about the problems they were having there. And in many cases, the whitetail population was such they had gone beyond their carrying capacity, and they had pictures of the deer standing up on their rear feet, reaching up and nipping off twigs and buds off of trees, and every tree in the area was cut off at about 6 feet above the ground. Just like
a browse line, huh?
Yeah, just manicured that way.
I've seen that one time. We had a bad winter, I'm going to say back around 2007, 2008, where we had snow that started in November, and it just laid a layer of ice. I think it rained before it snowed, and we had it all the way through February, and I seen a shelter belt that mule deer created a browse line on those cedar trees. And you know, things were pretty hungry when it got to that point.
Can you tell us about some of the tools or techniques you can offer landowners and producers to help them manage the problem and maybe alleviate some of the damage that wildlife is doing?
Yeah, so it all starts with communication. I'll receive, or other biologists in the district receive phone calls from landowners who are concerned with damage that they're seeing. And we like to go out and do an on-site inspection and provide technical advice for damage management. And every situation can be unique and different, but depending on that situation, we recommend or implement hazing devices to help disperse the animals. We offer deterrents to help, again, haze and scare them away or keep them away. We offer materials for exclusion. That might be fencing materials, covers for grain bags, silage piles, wraps to help trees. And one tool that we do use is it's called a wildlife damage control permit. Damage control permits are utilized for immediate relief of damage. They're particularly used in big game situations. If a producer is really getting hammered with damage at an important time during the growing season, then that might be a tool that we use that will allow him some immediate relief to reduce a local population of deer in that area. And these permits carry very specific stipulations on the species that can be harvested, the number of animals that can be harvested, the dates of harvest. Landowners put themselves and shooters on the list, and all shooters have to be pre-approved and without game violations. Those names get looked at by our law enforcement division. And the meat from animals harvested on depredation control permits are, the meat shall be salvaged for consumption.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to step away here for a second, Brian, do a commercial, but I have some more questions for you when we get back. Hopefully you can stay with us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Okay. So stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages.
Husker Radio is looking to add to our team. You could work with our number one DJ and sports announcer, Tanner Struckman.
I love working at Husker Radio because I get to interact with local listeners every day, hopefully providing a touch of fun, entertainment, and useful information along the way. Being local is what I love.
This is Pam Waugh with Husker Radio. If you like to be involved, have fun, and make money, then call me today at 532-3344 or drop your resume at Husker Radio.
anglers and hunters, pros and beginners. There's outfits and gear for every level and class of outdoorsmen at the Minnow Bucket in North Platte. Fall archery is here, so come down to the Minnow Bucket and let TJ help you get rigged up for your next silent takedown. He has the knowledge and know-how from his lifelong experience hunting and fishing in western Nebraska. Check out their Facebook page for more details and stop by the Minnow Bucket, 1013 South Jeffers, for all your archery needs this 2020 fall season.
Hey, it's Dave Ramsey inviting you to tune into the Dave Ramsey Show on News Talk 1240 KODY. Our show provides common sense advice that works. We call it God's and Grandma's ways of handling money. Tune in for a proven plan that's worked for millions of Americans for 25 years on the air. It's the Dave Ramsey Show, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. right here on News Talk 1240 KODY.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Partial sunshine develops here for today with a high in the upper 60s. Northwest winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a low near 50. By Saturday, a slight chance for rain showers. Partial sunshine develops, a high of 72. Sunday, mostly sunny and a high around 76. Monday, sunshine, high of 78 degrees. Weather is brought to you by North Platte Airport with daily jet service to Denver and beyond. Book at united.com.
Back to the KODY studio for the Outdoor Connection, brought to you by TJ and the crew from the Minnow Bucket at 1013 South Jeffers in North Platte. Here's Rick Windham.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Brian Perks this morning, a wildlife biologist with the Game and Parks and specializing in depredation and wildlife damage issues. Does that pretty much cover your job right now, Brian?
Yeah, that seems to be the everyday routine.
Are you a Nebraskan, a native Nebraskan?
Yeah, yes I am. I've lived in Nebraska my entire life, western Nebraska. I grew up in southwest Nebraska in a little town called Bartley. Not everybody's heard of it, but it's in the McCook area.
Yep.
I left southwest for a period of time while I attended college at Chatham State. And lived and worked in the Panhandle for a short time, but I had the opportunity to come home and start my permanent career with the Game and Parks in Cambridge.
And, very good.
So it was pretty cool coming home.
Very good. I always like Chadron. It's a beautiful area, and. Mm-hmm. I came to Nebraska on a football scholarship, so I was stuck in the eastern part of the state. But we got to go to Chadron a couple times, and I loved it. I was trying to figure out how to transfer up there. That was long before the days of transfer portals, and sounds like it's much easier right now. But,
yeah,
you know, it was a scholarship issue. If I left, I didn't have a scholarship, so I didn't get up there, but I love that part of the country.
It is. It's a beautiful country and good people from my experience, and I really enjoy that panhandle.
Nebraska is so unique in the fact that it has so many types of landscapes, topography, and all like that. Matter of fact, I did a radio show with a outfit called Raven Maps, and they're out of Oregon, if I remember right. And they have a map of Nebraska hanging in their office. Nobody's ever been to Nebraska, but they did it because of the type of map showed the different land changes and types of ground. And they said, Nebraska is totally unique. It's not, it has more than any other state. What they said was most states will have two or three different types of topography. Nebraska has seven. So it's a great.
Yeah, we have a lot of diversity in different, I guess ecological communities is what I would call them, but yeah, everything from sand hills to Pine Ridge to different grass prairies and wetlands. It's you get a lot of different communities, wildlife communities in Nebraska.
In your current job and where you're stationed, you get to see them all.
Yeah, yeah. I don't get to the Pine Ridge often enough, but I do. I work in a unique area.
The sand hills is what attracted me, and one of the reasons I moved out west. there's only two places on the face of the earth that are like this, and we have one of them, and that's great.
Yeah, we're lucky.
In your job, what is the hardest thing you deal with the landowner? I guess, you know, what's your biggest challenge?
Okay, yeah, good question. And right now, myself and other biologists in the field, we respond to a lot of different forms of wildlife damage. But one issue that I think NGBC is trying to address is communication with landowners. We want landowners to know that there's options for relieving their wildlife damage. Again, we can provide advice and management tools that may offer them help. One thing that we hear, some of us hear when we're out on the road working with guys, is that NGBC doesn't care and they won't help with wildlife damage. And that's not true. I and everyone I work with wants to help manage wildlife at tolerable levels. So I would say right now, communication and building working relationships with producers is a big part of what we want to accomplish, and just take steps forward in managing those wildlife conflicts.
And I know that Game and Parks does work with landowners. I've been contacted twice by landowners. When it gets to the point that you're actually having to start to harvest animals off a property to alleviate the problem, I've had a couple landowners call me, ask me if I could come in and be a shooter, and they'd get me on the list like you were talking about. And
right.
In both cases, you know, they explained that, you know, they had a method that they could get the meat to somebody that could use it, you know, whatever, like that. And it's kind of one of my requirements. You know, I'm not going to shoot anything, just let it lay.
Right. Nobody wants to see that.
No.
And I'll add to what we were talking about a little bit ago on the depredation control permits. In my opinion, and I think most, they're a immediate short-term solution to a damage problem.
Right.
And I want to stress that the most important management tool that we have is regulated hunting during hunting seasons. Hunters are willing to harvest animals during a very favorable time of the year in terms of they just want to get outdoors and hunt. It's cooler weather for salvaging meat, and generally it's beneficial to harvest antlerless animals for some long-term population control. You control the population, you're controlling and reducing your damage in future years. And every situation can be unique and may require multiple tools, new tools, thinking outside of the box. Population reduction through regulated hunting is very important, and I'll stress that it's a program. It requires an effort, and probably every year some kind of effort to maintain any progress that you've made. You don't want to just go in and shoot half a dozen does 1 year and think your problems are solved. You need to do a little bit of that every year.
Right. There's a couple landowners that I work with, and it's not part of any depredation scheme, but they know they have an overpopulation of does. So, I have a core group of guys that I hunt and fish with, and I loosely term them my strike team. And we've worked with the landowners and go out like in the late antlerless season and hunt. And between us, we may take
great time to hunt deer.
Oh, yeah. And the other unique thing we do with it is I'm kind of the de facto hunt boss on this. So over the last decade or so, every year we go out, I also dictate what type of weapon you're going to use just to get you out of your your comfort zone. You know, if you're shooting a bolt-action rifle with a scope all the time and have never tried hunting with a pistol, That becomes a challenge. So we've done that, and we've hunted with pistols. We've hunted with shotguns with slugs, which nobody had ever done before except me. We've hunted lever-action rifles, iron sights only.
That's a good point. That's how I look at it, too, is I hunt does during the late season.
Oh, yeah.
it's a good way to get meat, but also new opportunities. It's something different than the bolt action rifle, using some of those other methods you're mentioning, archery, good opportunity to enhance your archery skills, or hunt with a pistol like you might not usually do during the firearm season, or a shotgun. So I think you're making great points.
My most eclectic camp that we ever had a couple years ago is I determined it had to be antique military service weapons, World War II or older. And that was a wild looking rifle rack in camp that year.
Yeah, I bet so. You know, there's some people that are trying to harvest their deer with spears. You should request that some year.
I've never done deer with a spear, but I have done wild hogs with it.
I've heard stories of those hunts.
Yep. Well, Brian, I sure appreciate you taking the time to be with me this morning and talk about this issue. If anybody wants more information or wants to talk to you about wildlife damage, depredation issues, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, I think the best, if somebody's having an issue with damage or sees the writing on the wall and they think there's going to be issues in the future, maybe you've had a long problem and haven't known who to talk to, I think the best place to start is calling the district office in North Platte. If you're in the Kearney area, call the Kearney Service Center or any local Nebraska Game and Parks field office. Some people, they know the law enforcement officers or the game warden. Talk to him, and somebody will put you in touch with a biologist. And it might be me, or it might be another field biologist in that area. But ultimately, we'll catch up with you, and we'll start working through those problems. I can certainly provide my email if anybody's in the email still and want to
I would say just contact the district offices, and that'll get it rolling.
I think that's probably the most efficient way, and those secretaries and out there, they know what we're trying to do, and they'll point you in the right direction.
Very good. Thanks again, and we'll have you back on the show sometime.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity, Rick.
You bet. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.